And look, I'm really excited about this message that that God's put on my heart. It's been building all week. And look, if it comes out the way that it did in the first service and the way that I'm believing that it's going to come out in this service, and it is the shizzle. But look, if it doesn't work out and it doesn't come out that way, at the very least, we'll have a mildly entertaining TED Talk for a while. But who's ready to be encouraged by the Word of God? I really believe that God wants to build some faith in some hearts today. He's wanting to inject some encouragement into some people and just lift you back up again, because that's what God does. He is the lifter of our head. He is the one that our faith can be built upon, and He'll never let us down. So I've called this message today, Who Do You Say I Am? Who do you say I am? And it's based on Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 15. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there, or it'll be on the screen and we can do it Bible karaoke style. Matthew 16, 13 to 15. It says, when Jesus came to the region of North Toowoomba and visited New Hope Church, he asked his disciples. We got any disciples here this morning? Got a few disciples of Jesus. Good to see. He asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And I love how Jesus doesn't entertain that. I love how Jesus doesn't care about his popularity status or what people are saying about him, or he doesn't care about any of that. But he goes on, verse 15, listen to it. He goes on to say to his disciples, but what about you? He asks. Who do you say that I am? I think, wow, what an incredibly important question to ask. So important, in fact, that I believe that Jesus is still asking you and I this same question today. Who do you say that I am? Because that's all I'm interested in. I don't care what other people are saying. I want to know who you say that I am. Who do you say that I am, Rob Stewart? Who do you say, Jared Thornley? Who do you say, Brad Morris? Who do you say that I am? Not who does the church preach that I am? Not who does your grandparents or your parents say that I am? Not who does your wife or your husband say that I am? Not even who does your favorite podcast preacher say that I am? No, Jesus would say to us this morning, who do you say that I am? Because I believe one of the reasons that this question is so critical for us to answer, it's so critical for us to get a clear picture of who we believe Jesus is, it's because who we believe Jesus is will determine what we believe Jesus does. And what we believe Jesus does will ultimately shape our life. Let me say that again. Who we believe Jesus is will determine what we believe Jesus does. And what we believe Jesus does will ultimately shape our lives. For example, if we believe that Jesus is just some kind of a spiritual judge or moral gatekeeper, then we'll spend our lives living thoughts like in fear and uncertainty with thoughts that shape our life. Like, I had a pretty good week last week, so I can expect my prayers to be answered. Or, well, this week hasn't been so good, so I wonder where I'm sitting on the scales of good or bad. Or again, if we view Jesus as just our mate or like a spiritual life coach, He's there just to cheer us on when we're feeling a bit down. Then we're never going to take our sin seriously. And our view of Jesus that way will cause our life to be shaped with decisions of compromise and lowering the bar. Or if we view Jesus as some out there, distant kind of deity who lives somewhere in heaven on a planet far, far away, then we're never going to have that intimacy and that relationship that Jesus desires to have with us. But, everyone say but. But if we believe that Jesus is the good shepherd, like he says he is in John chapter 14, then our life will be shaped by believing that he will guide us and protect us. And if we believe that Jesus is the vine, like he says he is in John 15, if we believe that he is the vine, then our life will be shaped by believing that he will keep us grounded and secure in life, producing good fruit. And if we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, then our life will be shaped believing that he can bring any dead situation back to life, even though that we've given up and said it's dead, it's gone, it's buried. Because we believe he is the resurrection and the life, we know that he can bring things back to life. And if we believe that he is the bread of life, like he says he is, then we can know that he will satisfy our soul in a way that will stop us from hungering anything else. Because if we believe, the list could go on and on, but if we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, then that will determine what we believe he does in our lives. So you can see why this was such an important question to Jesus. You can see why he gathered the disciples in, his small group, his 12 guys. Gather in, guys. I've got a question for you, and I've got to know what you think about this. I've got to know your view on this. Who do you think I am? Because he knew that with that one revelation of understanding who Jesus is, it would shape their life and cause them to do great things for the kingdom of God. It's the same for you and I. If we get our understanding of who Jesus is wrong, then our life will be full of fear and uncertainty and discouragement. But if we get it right on who Jesus is, and we get a clear understanding on who Jesus is, then our life will be full of peace and joy and faith. So this morning, I want to help us get a clear picture of who Jesus is again. A clear picture, just removing some of the misconceptions. And because, you know, in a room this size, with people, this many people in a room, man, there's a whole bunch of different views of who Jesus is. For some of you, you've been taught who Jesus is, or your parents have told you, or you've been showing this way, showing that way, whatever it is, and a whole mixed up different points of view of who Jesus is. But I want to just help us just clear some of that stuff away today and just show us a fresh perspective of who Jesus is. And it comes from John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Because I believe that if we can get a firm conviction, a firm understanding in our heart, a firm just in our gut, we believe this, that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, then I believe that our life can be shaped by understanding and knowing that he will bring direction, he'll bring clarity, and he'll bring purpose to our life. So the first thing that Jesus says, he says, "I am the way." Not "I bring a way," "I am the way through life," which means if we believe that Jesus is the way through life, then we can have total confidence that he will provide a way when we get stuck. See, if we believe that Jesus is the way, then we can be sure and know that he will provide a way whenever we get stuck. And who knows, there's times in all of our lives when we feel like we're just stuck, man. We know where we want to go, but we're just stuck. We feel like we're just spinning our wheels and not making any ground and not getting traction. It's just like, oh man, I just need a way forward. And if we believe that Jesus is the way, then we can know that he will provide our way forward into everything God's got for us. It reminds me of the first time I ever used a GPS in a car with Siri's voice telling me where to go. And look, I know for some of you guys here today, a female voice in the car telling you what to do and where to go, that's not a new thing for you. But for me, this was a new experience. I actually really enjoyed it. Because see, what happened was we were visiting Nerida's family down in Melbourne in 2006. And I'd never been to Melbourne before. I didn't know my way around there. I'd never travelled those roads before. I'd never travelled those paths before. So I didn't know where I was going. But I knew where I wanted to end up. And all I had to do was type in to my GPS where I wanted to go, where my destination wanted to be. And I had this soft, kind little voice guiding me all the way. And it was fantastic. I found it really enjoyable. It took all the stress out of trying to find my way to where I wanted to be. And what made it even better was that when she was telling me where to go and what to do, she'd actually warned me of a decision that was coming up. 600 metres, turn right. Thank you, Siri. 300 metres, turn right. Oh, okay. 100 metres, turn right here. And then it gets even better than that. Not only did she tell me when I had to turn and when I had decisions coming up, it gets even better because if I missed that turn, she didn't get cranky at me. She just said, when possible, perform a U-turn. How good is this? And then it gets even better than that because if for whatever reason I couldn't perform that U-turn or I just couldn't find a way to turn around again. Not once did I ever hear Siri say to me, "You idiot, Dean, you are on your own." No, if it ever got to that point where I just kept missing the turn and missing the U-turn and heading in the wrong direction, all I would hear was this soft, kind voice saying, "Recalculating, recalculating." In other words, Siri was saying to me, okay, let's just find another way to get you back on track. Yeah. And I think how much is the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives us like Siri in our lives, trying to guide us, trying to lead us, trying to say to us, hey, you got a decision coming up soon. You got to turn left or you got to turn right. I'm just warning you, make a decision. It's coming up. It's 300 metres. That decision's coming. You can't avoid it. It's coming. It's coming. You missed it. You turned the wrong way. All right. Okay. When you can, just do a U-turn. Just you would do a U-turn. We'll try that again. Let's give that a go again. All right. You're not doing a U-turn. You're not spinning around and trying that again. It's okay. Let's recalculate. Let's recalculate. I will find a way to get you back on track again because I am the way, so I will provide a way because I am the way maker. Yeah. You can't see where you're going. You don't know what direction you need to be heading, but I do. I can see the big picture. You're just down in the streets. You're just trying to make one decision after another daily, trying to get through, but I can see the big picture. I've got the global GPS. Global positioning, I can see a different route. And I believe some people really needed to hear that this morning because there's some of you here today and you're just feeling like you're stuck. You're feeling like you've taken some wrong turns in life. You're feeling like you've missed some opportunities, and you feel like you're just stuck in the back suburbs in a cul-de-sac somewhere going round and round and round. But I believe that Jesus would say to you today, it's okay, I can recalculate and I can get you back on track because I am the way maker. Oh, man. So often we're like, oh, God, I wish you would just tell me what to do when I would do it. And he's like, I'm trying. I put that small, still voice inside of you. I've been trying to guide you. I'm trying to lead you. I'm trying to give you convictions and just unctions in your spirit, in your belly, where it's like, I've got to make a decision. I've got to turn here. I've got to turn there. That's the Holy Spirit. That's your GPS that God has put within you to lead you when you got your destination set right. And for some of you here today, you're just like, man, I needed to hear that because I'm just feeling stuck. I'm feeling like I've missed a turn. I'm feeling like I've missed an opportunity. I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels in my marriage, just spinning my wheels in my job, spinning my wheels in my ministry or my calling. I'm just spinning my wheels, just trying to get through day by day. But Jesus would say to you today, I will find a way to get you back on track because I am the way maker. And yes, some of the turns that you took there, they might have taken more petrol out of your tank than what it needed to take. And yes, it might have made the journey longer than what it needed to be. And yes, it might have been more stressful than it needed to be. But if we believe that Jesus is the way through life, then we can know that he will make a way to get us back on track. But you know, the funny thing is I've learned that over time, we can actually get to that point where we turn the GPS off. Like whenever I use a GPS now, if I know where I want to go, I don't listen to Siri anymore. There might be, for example, there might be a place in Brisbane that I need to go, and I know three quarters of the way there. I'm confident we're three quarters of the way there, you know, but it's just that last little bit. It's that finding the suburb, finding the street and the street number in that suburb. I need help with that last little bit. But for most of it, I don't need a GPS, but I'll set the GPS when I leave Toowoomba and I'm heading down the range. And while I'm traveling along, I totally ignore everything that Siri's saying to me. She's saying, you know, travel along this road, 90 kilometres. I'm like, duh. I know that. I'm on the highway. I know where I'm going. And I can just travel down the road to the point where I totally tune out to what Siri's trying to tell me. Totally tune out to the directions that she's trying to give me. And sometimes I even get to the point where I get sick of being told what to do and where to go, so I turn her off. But you and I can do that sometimes with the Holy Spirit. You and I can get in that place where we're like, I don't want to be told where to go anymore, God. I don't want to be told what to do anymore, God. Yeah, I know what you're telling me to do, but I'll just ignore that. I'll just tune out to that. That's what the Bible says is called the searing of our conscience and the hardening of our heart. But Jesus says, I am the way. If you just keep your heart soft, if you just keep your heart open to where I want to take you, man, I can take you to that destination that's been set for you. My Father set that destination for you. I know where you need to go. You might not know where you need to go, but I know where you need to go, and I will guide you there. I will lead you there, and I'll put you on the right path. Amen? The second way. So the first way that we can know that Jesus is the way because he provides our way. Second thing is, describes himself, Jesus says that I am, number two, the truth. I am the truth. Not a truth, I am the truth. And if we believe that Jesus is the truth, then when we have those times of confusion and uncertainty and we just don't know what to think or how to feel or believe, when we're in a situation where we don't know what's going on, Our emotions are taking us all over the place. Our feelings are taking us all over the place. Our thoughts are just taking us on this journey where we don't want to go, bringing confusion and uncertainty. Then we need to remember who Jesus is. Yeah. that he is the truth. With that word truth, that word means things like fact, reality, certainty, something that's firm, consistent, and reliable. So in those times when we feel like our emotions are all over the place, if we know that Jesus is the truth, then we know that he will bring a word of truth that is reliable and certain and firm that will hold us strong. I remember experiencing this a couple years ago when Zara, our daughter, was really sick. And many of you know the journey that Nerida and I were on where Zara was just covered in eczema from her head to her toe, completely covered, and just I'd never seen anything like it before. And there was many times when we would just be praying and feeling discouraged, just like, God, what is going on? What is going on? We're praying and nothing's happening. We're good people. We tithe. We come to church. We're serving your house. We love people. What is going on? And during that season, man, our emotions, our opinions, our thoughts, they were scattered. They were all over the place. Feelings of despair, feelings like that God had just abandoned us and given up on us. But then I remembered, Jesus is the truth. And he's going to bring a word of truth. Then the Holy Spirit would remind me of scriptures in the gospel where it would say things like, and all who came to Jesus were healed. All who came to Jesus, not some, but all who came to Jesus were healed. And it would just put my thoughts, my emotions, my opinions, my feelings, it would just put it all back into perspective. Because I know the truth just gave me a word of truth. But even with that, yeah, I remember saying to God, yeah, but you've given me this scripture. All who came to Jesus were healed. I'm looking at her. She's not healed. And I remember distinctly the Holy Spirit saying to me, you don't think that happened in an instant, do you? And I was like, yeah. How I read it. I said, no. All who came to Jesus were healed, but not all of them were instantly healed. For some of them, their healing took a week. For others, their healing might have taken a month or a year or 10 years. But at that point, when they prayed, when they put their trust in Jesus and asked for that healing, at that point, all who came to Jesus were healed. It's just that some had to wait for the manifestation to catch up to the prayer. But at that point, it was started. The ball was in motion. Things were put in place. She is going to be healed. It's just a matter of time before we actually see it. And some people need to hear that this morning too. You've been praying for something, believing for something, thinking that's going to happen in an instant. But I want to tell you, the ball's in motion. Behind the scenes, the ball is in motion. God has heard your prayer. He's seen your faith. He's seen that it lines up with his will and his word, and he's put the balls in motion. And it's just a matter of time before it manifests into something that you can see and you can put your hand on, because Jesus is the truth and he gives us words of truth to guide us through. So the first way that we need to see who Jesus is, we need to see him as the way so he can provide a way. We need to see him as the truth so that he can provide us with a word of truth. And the last thing that he describes himself is that he is the life. Because if we believe that Jesus is the life, then we can be sure that anything he asks us to do will bring life, has life, gives life to those around us. And, you know, just for this point, I did a little bit of research. It didn't take me long, but I did a little bit of research on the meaning of life. Because who knows that everybody is looking for the meaning of their life. And I typed into Google, the meaning of life, and hit enter. And in just under a second, there was over 2.6 billion responses. And that tells me that there is a whole lot of people searching on the internet, what's the meaning of life? There's a whole lot of people looking to fulfill this hole in their heart, this hole in their spirit, just looking for fulfillment in that. And they've gone to the internet to look for that. It is still by far the most searched word in Google, or searched phrase. And there's other phrases and other words that trend from time to time. They trend up and are more searched for a week or a month or so, but they trend back down again. But the most consistent phrase searched in Google is, what is the meaning of life? And you know, that shouldn't surprise us, because the fact is, everyone's looking for the meaning of life. Everyone, every human heart has this thing inside of it, say, what am I here for? What's my purpose? What's my value? What have you put me on the earth for, God? But if we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then we know that he can provide life for us. It it was C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis who made this great quote, and he said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Let me say that again. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the probable explanation is that we were actually made for another world. In other words, we are not human beings who have a spiritual experience. We are, in fact, spiritual beings who have a human experience for a short amount of time. And everybody is looking for life. They're looking for, what's my meaning? What's my purpose? And they'll follow any kind of path and look down any kind of road, any kind of track to try and find what that is. Reminds me of Nerida and I. We went to Burstow's funeral home, and the last time that they ever did their Christmas lights on site before they moved to Queen's Park. And look, after seeing that, the last time they moved, before they moved, was, man, it was absolutely jam-packed. There was cars everywhere. There was people everywhere. It was a schmozzle out there. So I can see why they had to move it to Queen's Park to get more room and more space. And we turned up there that night with, I don't know, 500,000 other people. And we went to the gate there and went through the little gate and gave our gold coin donation. And they were handing out ice blocks at the gate. And so we got our ice block. And then we joined the crowd, just shuffling around. It was almost single file all the way through, because there's so many people trying to cut through this little track all the way, looking at the lights. And so we're in the crowd, just walking through with everyone else. And then I see a little bit further, I see this line of people start heading down this building. I thought, oh, I wonder where they're going. And I said to Nerida, let's go down that path. She's like, what for? There's nothing down there. I can't really see any lights or anything down there. And I'm like, no, let's go down there. There's all those people going down there. There must be something down there. So I go, okay. So we're going along. Then we join this path. And we start heading down the side of the building. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, I wonder what's down there. I can't see anything yet. And I should have known that something was up, because as we were in the line going down, there's a whole nother line of people coming back out again saying, there's nothing down there. There's nothing down there. And I'm thinking, you skeptics, there's got to be something down there. So we're shuffling down with this line of people down the side of this building to this dark spot. And then we get to the end of the line. You know what was down there? Nothing. There was a rubbish bin. Someone had obviously broken out of the line at some point and went down with their paddle pop stick to throw it in the rubbish bin, and this whole line of people just followed them, and so the crowd went with them. But how much is that like life? Oh, man, everyone else is heading down that path. There must be something down there. Even though there's a whole stream of people coming back the other way saying there's nothing down there, leads to nothing. There's no light down there. Or what about the, well, I just need to build my financial wealth path. Surely that path will lead to life and security and hope. And there's a whole stream of people coming back the other way saying, no, there's not. No life down there. It's not the path to follow. Or what about that? Well, when I just get married, all my friends are getting married. When I just get married and have children, that's where I'm going to find my meaning in life. And there's a whole lot of parents coming back, say, whoa, stop. Don't come down this way. If you're looking for sleep, if you're looking for joy. Nah, there's a bit of life down there. Kids are great, but it's not the life. It's a part of life, but it's not the life. And then you got the whole, well, everyone's getting a boyfriend or a girlfriend. If I just had a boyfriend, if I just had a girlfriend, then I would feel like my life has meaning. I'd feel valued. I'd feel purposeful. I'd feel loved. And there's a whole lot of people coming back the other way saying, no, that's not it either. That's not the way. It's not the one. See, I want to encourage you this morning. If we believe that Jesus is the way, then we can know that he'll provide our way when we're feeling stuck. And if we believe that he is the truth, we can believe that he will give us a word of truth to bring clarity to a situation. And if we believe that Jesus is the life, we can be sure that he will bring life in every part of our situations, bring purpose to who we are and what we're about. See, outside of Jesus, he is saying, outside of me, there is no life. There may be cool experiences, but it's not life. See, we think these cool experiences that we're chasing after and wanting to get the hashtag and the photo of and the Insta, look at me, I'm on the tallest building, I'm on the coolest beach, I'm here, I'm there. There's cool experiences, but they're not life. Only Jesus can bring life. And if we believe that he is the life, we know that he will provide life and life to the full for us. And that's what I want to pray for us this morning, that all of us would just get that clear picture again of who Jesus is. Because when we know who Jesus is, we can be sure of what he does. And when we know what he does, we will shape our life around knowing that's what he can provide. And when Jesus would say to us this morning, who do you say that I am? I pray that we could say with all confidence, Jesus, you are the way. You're the truth and you are the life. But not only that, I pray that we could say with absolute conviction of heart, you know what, Jesus? You are my way. You're my truth. You're my life. Everything I am can be found in you. And you can provide everything that's happening in my heart. That's why these verses like Acts 17:28, where it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Outside of him, we can have cool experiences. But in him, in Jesus, man, we live, we move, we have our very being. I want to pray for us this morning. Just everyone, just to close your eyes. Father, I thank you that you are a good God. And Lord, I thank you that your heart for us today is to see again who you are, to believe for what you can do in our lives, to shape them and mold them into what you've called us to be. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today with clouded, wrong views of who you are, I pray for them to be removed in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for clarity to come again. I pray that you would reveal yourself to people here this morning so they can say, I know you. I've talked with you. You've talked with me. I know. I don't just know about you. I know you in my heart of hearts. Lord, that's my desire for us this morning. Maybe you're here today, just while every eye's closed, maybe you're here today and you could not answer that question with conviction and certainty in your heart that you know who Jesus is. Like I said, maybe you know about Jesus. Maybe you've heard other people talk about Jesus. Maybe you've seen Jesus working in other people's lives, but you yourself could not say, I know you, Jesus. I've talked with you. I've heard your voice. I've felt your love. I've felt your calling. I've felt you being close to me when I felt alone. And this morning, there's just something inside of your heart where you want that. You want to be able to say, I know who you are, Jesus. I know you. That's you this morning. You know it's time to become friends with God. You know it's time to have that experience with Jesus. You've been sitting in church long enough. You've heard other people talk about their experiences long enough. And you want your own encounter, your own experience of knowing who Jesus is. I want to ask you just to slip your hand up right now and we'll include you in a prayer. Who's that this morning? Yeah, I see that hand. That's great. Who else this morning? You don't want to just know about him. You want to know him. You want to hear his voice, sense of his guidance. Yeah, I see that hand. That's great. Who else this morning? It's time. It's time to have your own encounter. It's time to develop your own experiences with Jesus, knowing for yourself who he is. Just slip your hand up and we'll pray for you. Yeah, I see that hand. That's great. That's great. I'm just going to give it one more moment. One more moment, then we're going to move on. So don't miss this opportunity. You want your own experience to know who Jesus is. Just slip your hand up. We'll pray. Yeah, it's great. You're worth waiting for, mate. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for touching those hearts this morning. I thank you for revealing yourself. I thank you for putting encouragement and strength into people's hearts. I thank you for injecting faith into our hearts. I thank you for lifting our head and lifting our eyes and seeing you for who you really are once again. Lord, I thank you, God, for just lifting the clouds of uncertainty and fear and just lifting that fog of not knowing where to go and bringing clarity and purpose and direction to people's hearts once again. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Just look up here for a moment, church. We're going to say a prayer. And as we do, I want you to be believing that the words you're saying with this prayer are just connecting you with Jesus by faith. Let's pray it together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Amen.